God has created for us. Amen. Next week, the ladies will be going to their women's retreat. Hallelujah. Amen. So praying for a blessing there for the ladies. If you have your Bible, go with me to the book of 1 Peter. First Peter. And in 1 Peter, we're going to go to chapter 2 of 1 Peter. In your bulletin, you should have a piece of paper, notes that you can follow along with me. If you have, just say amen. All right, so you got your notes and you got all that, so we're ready and fine. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. As we were discussing 1 Peter chapter 2 last week, we spoke briefly about us being living stones, how we are built upon the cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus. He is the most important piece of the building as the cornerstone. And now we're going to move into the honor and authority of Christ and Christ being our example. Are you ready? Last week, we also looked at another verse of Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, which told us about how that the grace of God teacheth to say no to ungodliness, and how the grace of God does not give us the right to continue in sin, but it tells us to say no to sin. Sometimes we get the impression that because we have God's grace, we have the freedom to sin. You do not. If you do sin, God's grace, which is great, he will forgive you, but then give you a right to continue in sin. And some people say, well, I can just do what I want to do. Okay, I'll come and get saved, and then I'll just continue to sin. I don't know whether you ever gave your life to Jesus or not. If your mindset is, I'm going to do this, I'm going to buy fire insurance, right, and then continue to do what I was doing in the past. It doesn't work that way. There has to be a heart change. Amen? If your heart is not changed, you're fooling yourself. We have been set free by the power of Christ, but not set free to do what we want and not free to disobey the laws of the land unless they come in conflict with what the Word of God says. So go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to pick up at verse 16. Verse 16. In the Amplified, it reads like this. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover or pretext for evil, but use it and live as bondservants of God. We've been set free, but still we are under the authority of whatever government that we live in. Now, many may say, well, sometimes they do things that I don't like, which is true, right? But we're still under their authority, and we're called to do what the government tells us to do unless it comes in conflict with what God has told us. It says here in that verse 16, the word bondservant or servant. I wouldn't say servant. A servant is one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. It also means to be devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. To be devoted to another one to the disregard of one's own interests. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, at around verse 39, Jesus is in this garden, Gethsemane, the oil press. And he makes this comment. He says, you know, if it's possible for us to get around this and still accomplish the goal, can we do that? But then he qualified the statement. He said, nevertheless, not my will, right, but your will be done. He understood this second part of being a servant, devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interests. That means your interest is no longer important when you compare it to God's interest. Whatever God wants to be done, I'm going to do it. Are you listening to me, everyone? There is a phrase that men and women who work in the White House use. And this is the phrase, I serve at the pleasure of the president. Meaning this, I may not like it, I may not agree with it, but I serve at their pleasure. And so as a servant, there are times we don't like what God says, but we serve at his pleasure because we are his servants, right? Amen? Okay, you said I agree, so we're going to go a little farther. You said it, right? I agree? Show me verse 17. Verse 17. Let's read this together, shall we? You ready? Here we go. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Are we God's servants? All right. Because sometimes, you know, we will get this attitude about, well, I ain't going to honor or respect someone who don't respect me. Have we said that before? At least in your mind, right? Okay. So let's read this again. Okay. You ready? It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Do you see a disclaimer in there? We don't see a disclaimer in there, do we? No, we don't. Honor all men. Now, as we look at the word honor, it reads this. It means to fix a valuation upon, to place value upon. To honor someone means to place a value on them. And this says honor all men. And so, a few weeks ago, most of you know this, that one of my cousins was murdered in a domestic violence in Vallejo, right? And so I told the Lord, and I told someone else, I told the Lord, I said, well, Lord, I know he has value to you, but he has none to me. That's where I was at. I know he has value to you. But after he murdered my cousin, he says, he had no value to me. That's where I was at. Amen? And I did not get a swift rebuke from the Lord when I made that statement because he knew what I was going to be preaching on it a few weeks later. Huh? The Lord knew. There's no need in rebuking him now. He's going to see it, right? And so as I began to put this together and look at this and study about the word of honor, and I realized there was no disclaimer in there. Well, man, how am I going to say that? I'm not going to say that I'm totally there yet. I'm still working through my feelings. All right? What I've done is what I've told many of you last week, that in order to lay certain things aside, we must first agree with God that it is sin. Now, I believe this is what the Lord revealed to me about honor. It doesn't mean that I honor or respect their actions or practices. It does mean that I have to honor that they have been designed and created in the image of God. And I have to honor that image because that image is a reflection of the Creator. I'm going to read it again because I want you to get this. Okay? It doesn't mean that I have to honor or respect their actions or practices. Okay? It does mean that I have to honor that they have been designed and created in the image of God, and I have to honor that image because that image is the reflection of the Creator. Okay? Would you get that? All right? They've been designed and created in God's image, and we are called to honor that. Not their practices, okay? Not their decision makings, but the image of God that they've been created in. So what does it look like when I honor that reflection? Number one, write this down. I will no longer wish ill will on you. When I begin to honor that reflection, I will no longer wish ill will on you. I wish you get hit by a truck. I wish to get all their teeth get knocked out. I wish they lose their job. Don't raise your hand. Look right at me. Have you ever said that in your mind? Don't agree with me. Don't. Just think about it. Maybe you said that in your mind. Okay, here's what the Lord said, what I believe the Lord said to me about when I wish ill will on people. He says, when you start wishing bad things onto a person, then you have moved into witchcraft. I had a cousin whose spouse was trying to get into this witchcraft stuff, and they were having a tough time, and so he went into the closet and switched the shoes around and left shoe going forward, right shoe going backwards, trying to wish this state of confusion on their mind. When we start wishing ill will, When we no longer want to honor the image they've been created in, and we wish ill will upon them, then we move into witchcraft. That's what witches do. You know, get a frog leg, boil it in a pot. You give this to them to drink, and you call. That's witchcraft. Number two, if I'm going to honor that reflection, and number two, watch this. I will always pray God's best for you. If we're going to honor the image of all men because they've been designed and created by God, we're going to honor that. Then I need to always pray God's best for you. Is it easy? It is not. It is not. But this is what we're called to do. There's no disclaimer. It says just do it. Right? Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. All right. Number three. Says, I will surrender myself unto the Lord when he wants to use me to benefit you, you the offender. I will surrender myself to the Lord when he wants to use me to be a benefit to you, the offender. Remember, all of us agree that we are what? Servants? How many said amen to that? Y'all said amen, which means I agree. And so if you agree with this, then God wants to use you to the benefit of that one who has offended you. You must say, yes, Lord. I don't like it, but yes, Lord. Huh? Yes, Lord. I will surrender myself unto the Lord when he wants to use me to benefit that person who has offended me. Tough. Amen? Allow me to stop here for a moment and go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And you guys know this already, but I'm going to read it anyway. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians 5 verse 1. I'm going to read it from the Amplified, okay? Okay. All right, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, become imitators of God, which means copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. So we have to copy God. We have to imitate him. Amen? All right, go with me now. To where I want to go. Yes. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read the next four or five verses. Verse 18 from the Amplified says this: servants, be submissive to your masters with proper respect, not only to those who are good and kind. So we can put employees, be submissive to your employers with all respect, not only to those who are good and kind, but also to those who are unreasonable. Give it to me in the New Living Translation. Servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Okay, there's no disclaimer in that. It says for us to be submissive to those who we work for. Right? Not only to the good and gentle, but to the what? To the unreasonable. I'm saying it again, because your greatest example of your Christian walk is going to be done probably at home or at work. You're not going to be done here, because we can fool each other. Hey, oh, praise the Lord. You know, but at home and at work, you're there 8 hours. You can't fool by 8 hours. They're going to see the real you, right? At home, they're going to see the real you. Right? So it says, you know, be subject, because it's your reflection of Christ they're going to see. All right? Verse 20 says, well, verse 19, for this finds favor if a person endures the sorrow of suffering unjustly because of an awareness of the will of God. After all, what kind of credit is there if when you do wrong and are punished for it, you endure it patiently? But with you, when you do what is right and patiently bear suffering, this finds favor with God. Christ, our example. For as a believer, you have been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor was deceit ever found in his mouth. While being reviled and insulted, he did not revile or insult in return while suffering. He made no threats of vengeance, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges fairly. Watch this. These verses here are very difficult to handle. When it says, be respectful and kind and honor those who are not kind back to you, and gives no disclaimer, they're very difficult. There is a tendency among the body of Christ to create distance, or should I say freedom, from the challenging verses of the Bible. We don't like this, right? We go to a verse, say Mark chapter 11, 24, when it says, you know, every action, pray, believe, and you're going to get it. We like those verses, right? Pray, receive, give back. We love those verses, right? Verses like this, which says, hold your peace, shut up, do right when those do you wrong. We don't like those verses. Right, we like those verses, right? They're very challenging, so we try to create distance, and we try to figure out a way where it doesn't mean what it says, right? You know, I've tried many times to figure out a way when it says, turn the other cheek. Does it really mean that? Does it really mean I got to turn the other cheek? There's got to be some. Let me look in the Hebrew and the Greek and figure it out. No, it means what it says, right? That's what it says. That's what it means. You got to do it. And so we try to distance ourselves from difficult passages and embrace the ones that are not as difficult because of our flesh. But God is saying, no, I need you to live this out, all right? As we walk through and live out 1 Peter, there is a tension drawn to us from the unchurched and unsaved onlookers of our lives. God is creating a culture in this present world that will look so peculiar that the world will take notice and ask why. They may tease you at work for your beliefs because you pray before you eat at lunchtime, you have your Bible, you do a devotion. They laugh at you and make fun of you, but they're watching you. And when they go through a difficult task, you will be the first one they come to for them. Could you pray for me? Even though they've talked about you, they want you to pray for them because they've seen something in you. Amen? And so God has to allow you to walk through difficult verses because he knows there are people looking at your life who he wants to save. And they need to see how you handle difficult situations. So when they fall into those situations, they'll run to you, and then you'll point them to Christ. Amen? That is why it is so important for us to look peculiar and different. Amen? It's hard, and we can't do it our own strength, and that's why we need the Lord. Amen? There is a song that my mother would sing every night before she would go to bed. I've told you this. We'd have these times of prayer every night before you went to bed when we were little, and you had to get on your knees with Mama. I didn't like it. But she would have me and my two brothers there with her at night, and we'd all have to learn a particular verse. And we'd have to, and there was like a passage like Psalm 67. We have to learn that by heart, right? And so we would open up with a song. It was like this mini devotion every night. We don't have that anymore, I guess, you know. But mini devotion. And then we would go through Matthew 6, and we'd take turns repeating that, right? And then we'd go, each one would have to do their own prayer. You know, okay, Lord, thank you for Mom and Daddy. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for food. Amen. And then my brother would go. Then my older brother would go. And then mama would go, right? And mama would pray there for a while. And we, you know, and we eyed up. But she's still praying. And in her mind, man, okay, man, will she be done with the weekend? And so we would pray together. But the song that we would sing every night was I Need Thee, right? How often? Every hour. You know that song, don't you? I want you to begin to play that song. And as I was looking through this, I came to realize there is no way in the world we can do this without him. And I didn't understand it as a young boy when mama would sing this song, "What I Need Thee Every Hour." Oh, bless. I didn't understand that. Just come on, can we get through this so I can go back to watching TV before I go to bed? And I just, but as I'm older now, I begin to realize how important that song was to her and how important it is to me today. Huh? Because there's no way I can honor people who don't do me right without the Lord. Amen? There's no way I can do this. The Bible says that when Jesus was reviled, he didn't revile back. It said this, that he entrusted the judgment into the hands of God. The Apostle Paul, you know this in 2 Thessalonians, he said this, that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to those who trouble you. Meaning this, let God handle it. And that's what Jesus did. He was our example. They crucified him. They talked about him. They spat in his face. They stripped him naked and hung him high and just wagged their head at them. And he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." Huh? He was our example how to honor. He was our example about being peculiar. He was different, right? Because us, we had sought for vengeance, right? We would have wished ill will on that particular person, right? We would have done that, but he did not. He was our example. He was our example. Our example. And we all agreed that we were his servants today. Okay, I got like two amens today because, you know, I don't know about that now. We agreed that we are his servants, right? And let me read again what it says. Devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interests. Meaning this, whatever my interests are, they're not that important anymore. It's what you want. And if you want to use me to be a benefit to that person who did me wrong, I'm your servant. The Bible says that Jesus died for the just and the unjust, for everybody. Amen? The ones who were making fun of him, he died for them as well. And he's called us to lay down our lives and pick up his cross and follow him. But we can't do it on our own. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't do this. You need Jesus. Amen? So stand to your feet, and John, you're going to lead us in this song, and we're going to sing this song to the Lord. Hallelujah.
I need...
Listen.
The old... I need thee.
Do you remember that? Huh?
Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless Savior, I've come to
sing it again, John.
I need the
find yourself in the need of the Lord today. You're going through something that you don't know how you're going to get through it. You've tried to figure it out, and you worked on it, and you tried to sleep, but you're thinking about it at night. I'm going to tell you what Mother would say, and just, you need the Lord. You may be saved, but yet still you need the Lord, because the situation that you're facing is too much for you. And as she would sing this song, it was like she was just laying this at the altar, at the feet of Jesus. Lord, I need you. I can't make it another day without you. I can't get around this mountain that I'm facing without you. I need you. And so if you're here today and you say, I really need the Lord. I'm facing some difficulties. Hallelujah. I'm going to challenge you to come down to this altar. Yeah. And as John get ready to sing it again, and we'll pray for you, Sister Woods, because you say, I really need the Lord. And we'll pray for you and sing it again, John. Hallelujah.
I need the Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I've come. I need the all. I need thee.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we
every
do.
Every hour I need thee. Oh.
Hallelujah.
Me now, my Savior, I've come to thee.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you cry out to the Lord that you need him, God will step into your situation. And watch this. He may not always change the situation, but he'll change you. And how you view and deal with the situation. He'll change you. And he's in the business of changing lives. Situation may not always change, but you can change. Amen? And that's what God's looking for us to change and to submit ourselves to him. Amen? Listen, you cannot live out 1 Peter on your own. You need the Lord. You can't honor and be respectful on your own. You need the Lord. And what you cannot do of yourself, God can supernaturally empower you to do it. Amen? Glory to God. Cole, won't you come up and you give us a closing prayer? Hallelujah.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing us all here. Thank you for the words that have been spoken. Even the words that weren't spoken, Lord. The words that you said to whoever needed it, Lord. Thank you. I pray that, traveling mercies as we all head to our destinations. I pray that we have a great week until we meet again, Lord. In Jesus' almighty, all-powerful name, amen.